Let's call this meeting of the Senate Judiciary Committee to order. It is 1:34 p.m. on Wednesday, March 27, 2024. Before we begin, I want to thank Juliana Singh, the Senate Judiciary Secretary. She makes sure we have a transcript of our meetings, and Dylan Williams from the Juneau LIO, who makes sure we have sound. At this time, I want to remind committee members and all those in the room to please silence your cell phones. Present today, we have Senator Kaufman, Senator Tobin, my Vice Chair, Senator Keel, and myself, Senator Klayman. We have a quorum to conduct business. Our first order of business today is Senate Bill 60, Repeal Workers' Compensation Appeals Commission, sponsored by Senator Wilikowski. This is the third hearing of this bill in the Senate Judiciary Committee. In our first hearing of Senate Bill 60, we adopted version B of the bill as a working document, which updated the dates from 2023 to 2024. You have before us a proposed committee substitute that has more substantial changes that our office distributed to the committee members last week. It's also available publicly under the Documents tab on the website. I would note that this committee substitute was a product that I worked on with Ledge Legal after having discussions with various stakeholders in this area to see whether there might be a potential compromise that wouldn't send this work completely to the Superior Court, but would also shut down the Workers' Compensation Appeals Commission and send those cases to the Office of Administrative Hearings. I'd note that Senator Giesel joined us at 1:35. And so the committee substitute is the substitute that does make those changes. We have not adopted it at this point, but here to describe the changes for the committee substitute is Senate Committee Judiciary Committee aide and my Chief of Staff, Brianna Kakarik. Ms. Kakarik, if you could come forward, put yourself on the record, and please explain the changes that appear in the committee substitute, which is, I believe, version S.
Thank you, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Brianna Kakarik, and I'm staff to Senator Klayman. I'm here to describe the explanation of changes between version B of Senate Bill 60, which is our current working document, and version S, which is the proposed committee substitute that is in front of you all today. The CS for Committee Substitute 60 version S replaces version B of the bill by placing the jurisdiction of the former Workers' Compensation Appeals Commission under the Office of Administrative Hearings, or OAH. OAH would have jurisdiction to hear appeals from final decision and orders of the board. In version S, the office would designate one primary administrative law judge and one alternative law judge to hear and decide all appeals to the office. In Senate Bill 60 version B, the Workers' Compensation Appeals Commission would be repealed, and jurisdiction over appeals of workers' compensation decisions would return to the Superior Court. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions from members of the committee? Hearing and seeing none, we have invited testimony today. First is Dana Ferenstein, the Senior Vice President, Regional President, Alaska and Pacific Northwest and Commercial PNC Claims Copper Point Insurance Company. Mr. Ferenstein, if you would please come forward, place yourself on the record, and please provide your thoughts and comments about both the Committee B as well as the Committee Substitute Version S.
Good afternoon. For the record, I'm Dana Ferenstein. I'm the regional president for Alaska National Insurance Company. I want to thank Chairman Klayman and thank members of the Judiciary Committee for the opportunity to appear this afternoon and to provide comment. So the focus of my remarks will be on the committee substitute to Senate Bill 60. And before I do that, just a little bit of context about Alaska National Insurance Company. Alaska National was founded in 1980 for the purpose of providing a stable market for workers' compensation insurance for the employers of Alaska. Today, Alaska National insures more than a third of the Alaska workers' compensation voluntary market. We've also served for many years as a servicing carrier for Alaska's assigned risk plan, and we currently service a majority of the pool. Alaska National supports the proposed committee substitute. Sending appeals to the Office of Administrative Hearings rather than the Workers' Compensation Appeals Commission effectively addresses the stated concerns about the costs of operating the Appeals Commission and the recent decline in the Commission's caseload. The focus of SB 60 has been to reduce the cost of administering appeals. I'll observe that while the annual operating cost of the commission is significant, especially when judged against the declining caseload following the COVID shutdown, premium taxes fund the commission and make the system self-sustaining. But accepting that the committee may still want to pursue cost savings, reductions in operating costs should not come at the expense of the system or the employers and employees that it serves. So I think it's important to have a little bit of context about workers' compensation when you think about this issue. And like other states, Alaska's workers' compensation system is the product of what is commonly referred to as the grand bargain. In broad strokes, that bargain guarantees that all workers injured in the scope of their employment receive medical care and scheduled compensation without regard to fault. These benefits are awarded through an administrative process that's focused on healing workers and returning them to work as quickly as possible. That bargain contemplates and promotes efficiency, predictability, minimizing litigation, and frankly, staying out of the courthouse as much as possible. But SB 60, as originally proposed, is contrary to and undercuts the grand bargain. The proposed committee substitute, on the other hand, honors and promotes the grand bargain by preserving a more efficient appeals process that will provide injured workers with faster resolution, greater predictability, and ultimately better appellate decision-making by one subject matter expert rather than a large group of inexperienced, relatively speaking, generalists. So I'll call three points to the committee's attention related to my comments so far. First and foremost, decisions from the Office of Administrative Hearings will provide binding precedent and binding guidance to Alaskan employers and employees and the attorneys that represent them in workers' compensation cases. Alaska's workers' compensation system functions more effectively and better today because of the precedent that's been handed down by the Appeals Commission over the past almost 20 years. If appeals instead were to go to the Superior Court, those decisions would not be binding precedent, and no one but the parties to a particular appeal would be required to follow the court's decision. And that's, and just to elaborate on that, Superior Court decisions bind the parties inside the courthouse that are parties to the case, but not anybody else. So as a result of that, you're going to have an inherently less predictable, less efficient system. A ruling is handed down by the Superior Court. The same issue comes up a year later. There's no binding precedent that Superior Court decision has to be followed in the later case. So the second point, the committee substitute provides for the designation of a single administrative judge to be the primary decision maker for appeals going forward. And that's similar to the Appeals Commission. The administrative judges specialize in interpreting and applying technical laws and regulations. But in contrast to that, the state's more than 40 Superior Court judges are generalists whose main function is to preside over civil and criminal trials. And so that means that while you'd have one person in the administrative hearings office there to handle most, if not all, the cases, you would have cases in effect on a rotisserie going all over the state to different people. And so over the course of a decade, you could have a situation in which some but not all of those 40 judges ever hear a workers' comp case and may never see one again. So the opportunity for expertise or specialization really isn't there. So the third point it really goes to delay. And this is a focus, I think, more than anything on the injured worker. If you look at the situation in the Superior Courthouses of Alaska today, there's a significant backlog. Cases at best take 18 months to get to trial. And it's important to remember that when you're having these appeals, this is not the beginning of the claims process for the injured worker. It instead is, you know, round four, round five of it. They've already been through the Workers' Compensation Appeals Board, or excuse me, the Workers' Compensation Board, and now they're coming to court for further resolution. But if there's an 18-month backlog, they're going to be waiting that much longer, and that is genuinely contrary to what we're trying to do here, which is to get the injured worker healed, compensated, and back to work, get on with their lives. In contrast to that, the Administrative Hearings Office would have the opportunity to have a single judge dedicated to what is not a backlog, instead would be what appears to be, at least today, a relatively light caseload, and so those decisions could be made much more promptly. We don't have the system in place today, so I can't predict and tell you it's going to take 30 days or 60 days or 90 days, but certainly those kinds of estimates are realistic in relation to what you're talking about in Superior Court. So for these reasons, Alaska National and I strongly support the committee substitute. It strikes a sound, well-considered compromise addressing the stated concerns about fiscal responsibility while providing a fair, efficient, and accurate decision-making body. That preserves the grand bargain, protects the workers of Alaska, provides a fair forum for the employers of Alaska, and reaches a reasonable compromise. Thank you for the opportunity to provide comment. I'd be pleased to answer any questions.
Senator Tobin.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to go back to your second point, just because I think I'm a little unclear. You stated that the Workers' Compensation Board creates binding precedent, and I'm under the impression that the commission cannot create binding precedent. So can you expound on that?
My understanding of the law in Alaska is that the appeals commission decisions are binding and are followed in subsequent cases. And that's in contrast to Superior Court. I believe there's been testimony at prior hearings from two different workers' compensation specialist attorneys, both indicating that the decisions of the appeals commission are the law in this area in the state of Alaska and are followed in subsequent cases.
Senator Tobin?
Thank you. So from my understanding, there was a case with AgPERC, and that stated the legislature cannot constitutionally require the courts to give presidential value to appeals commission decisions. So I think I'm just, maybe I need some clarity.
Well, and there's probably some nuance here, and I'm not a workers' compensation lawyer. I help run an insurance company that focuses on workers' compensation, so I'm not going to profess to be an absolute expert, but my understanding, Senator Tobin, is that the decisions of the appeals commission are then followed and are binding upon the Workers' Compensation Board. And it's important to remember the context of all this. So if the system works correctly, as the employers and their insurance company receive notice of the claim and they start paying benefits, they confirm compensability and they start paying benefits. And that should happen, in my estimation, probably 90 to 99% of the time. The whole goal here is to start providing for the worker. In those, say 1 to 10% of the cases where that doesn't happen, the next thing that's supposed to happen is that the board is supposed to step in and provide efficient administrative relief. And that probably handles, almost all the cases. And then there's a handful that get to the appeals commission or whatever body is handling it. But as things stand today, the board follows the appeals commission decisions. So the appeals commission is providing binding precedent to the board. And that's the critical aspect of this, so that when people appear before the board, there's a clear set of rules that are binding upon everyone. If the Superior Court, in contrast, were to issue a decision, it's just a trial court, no different than a motor vehicle accident. That order, whatever form it takes, is not binding upon anyone. And certainly I would not dispute the point that if there's a further appeal from whatever body ends up handling these appeals going forward, and it goes to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court is the highest body in the state of Alaska, and their decisions are whatever they wish them to be. And they can follow stare decisis and continue precedent, or they could overturn prior cases and do something different. Hopefully that
to was provide helpful. A little bit more. Mr. Fairstein, we could also ask Life Legal, but In the world of precedent here, as I understand it, the Workers' Compensation Appeals Commission, as to itself, its precedent is binding as to its own decision. So it looks to prior decisions. And because that's the appeal arm for the Workers' Compensation Board, that's where they look for precedent in terms of decisions. But if somebody isn't happy with the Workers' Comp Appeals Commission, that commission has no precedential value as to the Supreme Court. You go and you appeal to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court, if they agree, then that now becomes precedent. But the Appeals Commission is not binding as to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court decides those on their own. And I think the slight variation on the Superior Court, I think the Superior Court judges would typically say, you know, Judge Smith is not, their decision is not controlling on Judge Jones, but they might well look at Judge Smith's decision to see why Judge Smith made that decision, and that might be convincing to Judge Jones, but Judge Jones doesn't have to follow it. And the Workers' Compensation Board, because they're not required to necessarily follow the Supreme Court or the Superior Court decisions, they're not bound by that in the same way they're now bound by the Appeals Commission, if that makes that distinction, and if you have a different view of that.
Thank you to the chair. I think you said it more artfully than I did.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That clarifies, as I was going to raise, that it's very infrequent that cases will be similar and that there's going to be different facts for each situation. And so this idea of established precedent overruling any of those particular differences was confusing to me. And I was trying to find clarity in that.
Yeah, and that's certainly a fair point. I would just add that while the facts may be different, the statutes and regulations that are being interpreted and applied are very often very similar. The issues tend to be overlapping in many cases, you know, whether you're talking about medical benefits or return to work or whatever it may be. And so it's really the interpretation in the decision that's most useful to the board in later cases.
Other questions? Senator Kaufman.
Thank you, through the chair. Looking into this potential substitute, one of the discussions I had was that the original bill would cut costs because it's just folding it into ongoing court operations, and that's a standing operation. So we'd reduce those costs. And I'm unclear how the committee substitute would achieve that same goal. It sounds like it's keeping the same executive branch construct. It's just moving it over. So wouldn't the cost stay the same? Maybe you could explain that a little bit more.
Senator Kaufman, I think to be fair, it would require study, and I'd be to some extent speculating to give you a precise answer in dollars and cents, but I certainly understand the point. What I would say is that there are material differences. Today, as I understand it, the Appeals Commission has three salaries that are paid for. This would be changing it to, in effect, an existing body that's already being paid for. Whether or not there's a need for an add to headcount, I don't know the answer to that. Certainly, if the court says that it could absorb the caseload without any add to headcount, it stands to reason that the Office of Administrative Hearings might say the same thing. If not, then it may be that it takes the part-time needs of one person. So now you're talking about the fraction, you know, a fractional share of one a hearing officer as opposed to three people. So I do think there's real savings. It's just a question of how do you quantify it. And it may be that it's equivalent to what the original bill was.
Follow up?
Senator Kaufman,
separate line of questioning, actually.
Actually, I have a follow-up question on your first line. Let me ask that, and then we'll go back. In your testimony, you said that the roughly $500,000 in costs for the Appeals Commission today is actually not coming from state general fund, but that's actually collected from workers' comp. That's part of the costs that are paid for workers' compensation insurance by the people who buy the insurance, if
correct.
I'm following that right.
Correct. My understanding is that there's dedicated dollars from the premium tax charged on policies that's used to fund the office. So that's where I come to the conclusion that it's a self-sustaining system.
Okay. And so assuming it's self-sustaining, doesn't that mean that if we adopted the provision that sends it to the Superior Court and recognizing that the Superior Court's fiscal note says we'll absorb these in our existing, wouldn't we actually be saving money to the workers' compensation, the people that are buying workers' compensation insurance, if they didn't have to pay their share of the $500,000 cost for having the commission?
That's a pretty complicated question to which there's probably, in all honesty, a pretty complicated answer. But what I would say is that the fees that we charge, the premiums that we charge, better stated, the rates,
right,
are established through actuarial study of the loss costs, and the National Council on Compensation Insurance, NCCI, together with the director, go through a pretty rigorous exercise every year to do that. It's not obvious to me that that would come through in the study. It seems to me that that would get lost in the shuffle, so to speak. And I don't think that you would likely see a savings. And I would just, I mean, one observation, and this is a little far afield in all honesty, but is the last, I think, 7 years, the state has benefited from significant rate decline, meaning it's gotten cheaper. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that sending this to superior court will create upward pressure on loss costs, and that all things being equal over time, this is more likely to send rates in the other direction.
Senator Coffin.
Thank you, through the chair. Another point that was made is that the courts used to handle this and it was fine, and I don't really have any data on that or much more information beyond that, but that the before the board that is the subject of the current bill was created, is that it was in the courts. So do you know anything about the history of that decision, or how things were handled, or we basically going back to the model that we used to be, and having experienced this high cost, low productivity model that we're currently in? Do you have any information on that?
Senator Coffin, in all fairness, I'd be speculating to some extent because I was not involved in this industry in 2005 and don't have knowledge of the underpinnings. Going back to my earlier comments, what I can tell you is that having an administrative process to take you as far along towards getting the injured worker resolved and back to work is much more in line with the fundamental principles and public policy underlying a workers' compensation system. The whole goal is to stay out of the courthouse, to stay out of the hands of the lawyers, and to not drive up the cost through litigation expense.
Thank you. Follow?
Separate line of question.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Thank you. I'll take a pause on this. I need to think how to phrase this question.
Other questions? You want a minute of a brief at ease to ponder, or do you want to go ahead?
Well, I guess some of my question on this is just I'd like to hear at least from the office of the maker of the original bill, and just get more feedback on that front, and just get those impressions. I don't know if we're at that point yet.
So we actually have we have one other person for invited testimony, Joelle Hall, president of the AFL-CIO Alaska. So she at the request of the bill sponsor's office, she's going to provide invited testimony. So I'm more than happy we can hear from her. Mr. Bernstein is not going anywhere, so we can call him back up. So why don't we go to the next part of invited testimony, and then we
fair enough. I realize that some of my questioning may be getting into the maker of the original bill, so hence the pause. So
and Mr. Dunsmore is here from Senator Wilkowski's office, so we can also have him up as well. So I'm more than happy to get any questions answered. So I don't see any other questions. Thank you very much. Next in the queue for invited testimony, we have Joelle Hall, president of the Alaska AFL-CIO. Ms. Hall, since you're on the telephone and not here, please make sure you're not on a speakerphone, as the sound is not as clear. If you want to identify yourself for the record, and please proceed with your testimony.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Joelle Hall. I am the president of the Alaska AFL-CIO. Thank you so much for having me today. The AFL-CIO has been in support of the versions of SB 60 that have been introduced for the last few years. I think we first saw a bill like this about 8 or 9 years ago. We've been in support of this change ever since that initial attempt to do away with the Appeals Commission. I've been listening today and want to talk a little bit about the CS, and I'm very concerned about the idea that the fate of every single worker who goes to the Appeals Commission would be in the hands of one human being. I find that to be efficient, most certainly, but there is a lot of danger of that being really unfair, since that person is an appointed person. We don't know what his or hers biases or backgrounds may be, and there'd be no recourse through this person except maybe go on. Now they have to go on to the Supreme Court. It feels like instead of moving around through a superior court system where you write, I mean, the previous speaker addressed that they may not be intimately familiar with workers' comp issues, but that for other person who has control of every single case, this is deeply worrying. I can't imagine how I could go and tell a worker, you're always going to get a fair shake because, you know, you're just going to see Bob every single time. That feels like a system that is potentially a system that could be abused through the appointment process. And there would be huge forces at play lobbying as to who becomes the judge of this particular in this particular Office of Administrative Hearing Judge now becomes somebody who's the focal point of intense amounts of lobbying because there's so much money on the table on either side. So I just want to go on record and say I find that deeply disturbing. And I think we already have one executive level process, which is the Workers' Compensation Board. And to have two executive level bodies to adjudicate one case, and then before they get to the court, it seems like a two-step process when we could have a one-step process and then go straight to the court. So I'm very worried about this being one person. And I find that alarming. And we would support the original version of the bill where this would go to the court, the executive branch getting their chance to adjudicate this, and then it would go on to the court only if needed. I am not an expert in workers' compensation, but I do know that it is not a grand bargain if one human being is controlling the fate of everybody. That is not a grand bargain.
Thank you very much. Are there any members of the committee with questions for Ms. Hall? I don't see Senator. Almost, but not quite. All right, Senator. Thank you very much, Ms. Hall. I would ask now, Mr. Dunsmore, did you want to come up and provide any testimony as well? And if you want to identify yourself for the record.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, I'm David Dunsmore, staff to Senator Wilikowski. And just be available if members have any questions.
I'm going to see if Senator Kaufman is ready with his question first.
Thank you. Through the chair to Mr. Dunsmore. And I guess I just want to say I believe Ms. Hall has already kind of addressed. I was wondering about that same within a singular branch escalation. And so it seemed like there was some logic to me in the idea that, well, if you don't get satisfied here, you jump over to a different branch for your appeal. But I recognize the burden that some feel with going to court, but I wanted to talk about that in general. So if you could, please give me the senator's, I guess, his perspective on that to the extent that you can present the logic between keeping the appeal escalation within the executive branch or jumping over to the appeals court.
Through the chair, Senator Kaufman, Senator Wilikowski supports the bill as he originally introduced it, which would restore jurisdiction of these cases to the Superior Court, which had these cases before the creation of the Workers' Compensation Appeals Commission. We appreciate the committee taking the time to explore this option, but as we've reviewed it, it looks like having another, just simply replacing one executive branch agency with another executive branch agency wouldn't address the structural issues. One, it likely wouldn't result in significant cost savings because OAH is already fairly overstretched, has staffing problems, and so they would likely wish to take on more staff. So we'd really only be seeing the savings on the travel and per diem for the lay commission members, which, of course, with the work caseload being so small, that's the real expense from the commission is the two FTEs, not the travel and per diem for the commissioners. We also think that, like, going from one administrative agency to another administrative agency will still have the huge problem that's been created by the commission in form of delay in getting cases finally resolved is that prior to the creation of the commission, about 25% of Superior Court workers' comp cases were appealed to the Supreme Court. Now about 50% of doubling of the number of cases from the Appeals Commission get appealed to the Supreme Court. Taking a case to the Supreme Court, of course, adds months, if not years, into getting a final resolution to the case and adds a layer of inefficiency. It doesn't appear why you wouldn't have the OAH decisions being appealed at the same rate as the commission decisions. So we believe that that would leave that layer of inefficiency in the process. So Senator Wilkowski believes that after reviewing this, that the most efficient way, the way that will result in the cost savings and the way that will help address the fact that the workers' compensation system no longer receives enough designated general fund money to cover the entire program, the way to realize that cost savings to make the system more solvent is with the original version of the bill. Thank you.
Senator Tobin.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think my question was answered as I'm looking at the December 2023 slide deck from the Department of Labor regarding the Workers' Compensation Division, and I was just having trouble kind of parrying the premium tax covering the operation of the board. But I think you spoke to that, which helps me have more clarity. Thank you.
Any other questions for Mr. Dunsmore? Any questions for any of the speakers? Hearing and seeing none. So the question for the committee is, because we currently have the V version in front of us, which is the sponsor's version updated with date changes, what's the committee's sense in terms of whether to move to adopt the committee substitute, stay with the version we have? Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Been good food for thought and excellent to chew on, I guess. And maybe it's because we're getting close to budget subcommittee closeouts, but I keep thinking about the admin budget and the Office of Administrative Hearings. Couple of things. One is, if they were to take on these appeals, they would charge the work comp system at a little shy of $300 an hour. I think it's $280 something. So we're not going to see, if we go to them, the same cost savings. We also have a mentioned this year's budget, a problem in OAH's chargebacks that has the governor's budget asking for more than $700,000 in UGF on top. So I guess on the cost savings, I don't see OAH as saving the workers' comp system as much as going to the Superior Court. I think there was a mention of the coming challenge that OAH has with SNAP benefits backlog and all those fair hearings now getting appealed up. They'll work through that in time, but there is a little bit of a pig in the python right now. Sorry, Senator Kaufman, I do my best. I live up to your examples. And then the other thing, I guess, is I am and have always been most comfortable with the notion that a person appeals from the Superior Court to the Supreme Court rather than from an administrative process. And I know that's what we have today, but when we look at OAH, those decisions are appealed to the Superior Court. This would create a carve-out within their workload that's treated differently than the rest of what they do. So I think I'm probably most comfortable with the bill as the working document we have that just takes the original bill and fixes the effective dates.
That's from other members of the committee. Senator Kaufman.
The chair will, without working the hair off of this thing. For what I've been able to learn in the time since this issue has been brought before me, I'm more inclined to stick with the original bill as originally crafted.
Senator Tobin?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate this good dialogue and learning more about the current appeals structure and process and some alternatives that may result in some level of cost savings, but not necessarily the amount that I think has been proposed with the original bill. So I, too, support version B and think we can continue having good dialogue going forward about ways to help ensure that folks getting a fair shake at an appeals process.
Well, I do not see anyone from the committee that wants to move to adopt the committee substitute version S. So unless there's other questions from members of the committee, may I have a motion, Senator Keel?
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I move the Judiciary Committee reports out committee substitute for Senate Bill number 60, version 33LS0330/B, as in Bethel, with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
Hearing no objection, Senate Bill 60 will move from committee. We will pass the paperwork amongst the committee members as we go on to our next order of business today. And I do want to thank Mr. Feristein. I know you thought you'd be here quickly and you got to go to Ketchikan on the way. So appreciate your patience with Alaska Airlines and all the flight adventures that we sometimes have getting into Juneau. Thank you for coming today. Our next and last order of business today is House Bill 28, Access to Marijuana Conviction Records, sponsored by Representative Wright's office. This is the second hearing of the bill in the Senate Judiciary Committee. There is a proposed committee substitute in front of us. Before going to my staff to present the explanation of changes, Representative Wright, do you want to make any comments or add anything before we go to the committee substitute or the proposed committee substitute? Thank you very much. Then here to provide an explanation of changes, my staff and the Senate Judiciary Committee aide, Brianna Kakarik. Ms. Kakarik, if you would please come to the front, put yourself on the record, and provide an explanation.
Thank you, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Brianna Kakarik, and I'm staff to Senator Klayman. Senate CS for House Bill 28, Judiciary, Version R, amends Version U of the bill by removing Section 4. Section 4 in House Bill 28, Version U, amended AS 2235 by adding a new section that established records relating to the individuals and occurrences in this bill shall not be publicly published by the Alaska court system. Section 4 was removed in Version R because the Alaska court system has already taken the step to remove marijuana conviction records for marijuana possession of under an ounce for people over 21 on the court system's website. The Supreme Court order removed those records effective of May 2023. Version R renumbered Section 5 as Section 4 and updated the effective date, which was January 1st, 2024, to now January 1st, 2025. Thank you.
Any questions from members of the committee? I would note that Nancy Mead from the court system is also here if there are questions for the court system. I don't see any questions. Senator Keel, I have a motion to adopt the CS.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the Senate Judiciary Committee adopt Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill number 28, Judiciary, Work Order 33LS0271/R, as in Rampart, as our working document.
And before I ask for objections, Representative Wright, did you want to add anything or say anything with regard to the committee substitute?
First, I'd like to Representative Wright from District 22, East Anchorage. First off, I'd like to thank you, Mr. Chairman, for putting in some good work in the committee as well. I really appreciate it. I think this is going to help a lot of folks, and I think this committee did some good work on this legislation. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Is there any objection to the committee substitute? Hearing and seeing none, we have adopted the committee substitute. It would be version R as our working document. And any closing comments with regard to the bill?
That would have been my closing comments, okay. Mr. Chair. Thank you.
And obviously no objection to the committee substitute. Any comments from members of the committee? Senator Tobin.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Klayman. I just want to say whoever the cross-sponsor of this bill is just a very thoughtful and wonderful person, and this is great legislation.
Mr. Chair, may I add? yes, I would like to thank the car sponsor as well. I really do appreciate you helping me out with this. Thank you, Senator Tobin.
So for those who aren't clear, that cross sponsor would be Senator Tobin. Seeing no other questions or comments, Senator Keel, can I have a motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the Senate Judiciary Committee report SCSCS HB 28 Judiciary version 33LS0271/R, as in Rampart, from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Hearing no objection, House Bill 28 moves from committee. Please stay behind to sign all the paperwork, both with regard to Senate Bill 60 and House Bill 28. Sign that paperwork. We will now adjourn for the day. I will note that we will not meet this Friday, and we will not meet on Monday, April 1st. And that is not an April Fool's joke that we are not meeting. We really are not meeting on April 1st. Our next meeting is, in fact, on Wednesday, April 3rd at 1:30 p.m. We will stand adjourned. The time is now 2:14 p.m.